Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
It's my game right here. I feel it. I'm telling you, I feel it. I taste it.
It's time for you to be legendary right here, boy.
This is First and Pod.
They could not run the ball to save their lives in this game.
Your favorite team through a national lens.
The beauty of this podcast is that we don't gloss over anything. We do every team in every game.
Instant reaction to all the big games all season long.
The NFL never seems to let us down when we need a banger, banger.
Now. Here are your hosts, Andrew Filippone, with 8-time Pro Bowl corner and 3-time first-team NFL All-Pro.
Peterson may go all the way. He will. Patrick Peterson wins it.
Patrick Peterson.
Slim margin for error in Lombardi land over there for the Packers. We'll see how they do in the NFC North and the NFC playoff picture. Let's go back to the NFC West, because I did not watch the game between the 49ers and Cardinals, but I saw Jacoby Brissett set an NFL record with 47 completions. So I said, oh, the Cardinals upset the 49ers? And then you look at the final score and you're like, oh, the Cardinals did not upset the 49ers. So, gentlemen, explain that game to people out there like me who didn't see the game but see the final score, and it's much of a head-scratcher. How does someone complete 47 passes and yet still lose by 19 points?
You know, honestly, I watched the game. It was just like the Seattle Seahawks game. You know, got behind big. Not necessarily got behind big in the first quarter. It was too many turnovers in the first quarter. They allowed and too many big plays on the special teams for the 49ers in the first quarter to kind of get them in the first half to kind of give them the big lead and allow the 49ers to pretty much coast throughout that game. Christian McCaffrey, he had a decent game, 13 carries, 81 yards. George Kittle didn't have a really big game, but the turnovers creating shortened up the field for the 49ers pretty much made it easy. Brock Purdy only threw for 200 yards. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, but it just came down to field position, taking the ball away, and the 49ers defense, you know, playing lights out pretty much early. And those 22 points, I won't necessarily call it garbage time, but the 22 points on the scoreboard is an outlier. You know, yes, he did break a record because, hell, the team was down at one point. I want to say like 31-10 or something like
35-10.
That. 35-10. Yeah, 35-10. So he had no choice but to throw the damn ball, you know what I mean, to break the dang going record. But anywho, that's what it came down to. You know, the Cardinals got behind big, too many mistakes, shot themselves in the foot. Special teams made plays. First play of the game for the 49ers put them in scoring position at the 3-yard line to open up the game. And from there on, the barrel went rolling downhill. You remember, Pony, you ever seen that thing on Instagram with the tire? Where it's when they just throw it downhill and they just keep gradually picking up speed. That's exactly what it was, man. After that kick return, that tire just kept rolling downhill, bounced higher, picked up more speed, and as it ran into the dang on box down below, it just exploded everything, and that's how the 49ers ended up getting 41 points. So,
The final score is a blowout, and it was a blowout for most of the game. But to your previous point, I thought special teams were huge in the first quarter. The game started with Sky Moore returning the opening kickoff to the Cardinals 1-yard line. and then they punched it in to go up 7-0. And then when it was 13-7, the Cardinals forced a 3-and-out of San Francisco. They get the ball back. They drive. They end up missing a field goal. And so it could have been 13-10 after 15 minutes. You're right in the game. Instead, you miss that field goal. You give San Francisco good field position. Five plays later, they score a touchdown. Now you're down 19-7. And they never got back in the game. So, you know, if you don't watch these games, you don't maybe see those things. But early in the game, Arizona had a chance, but just the special teams killed them and allowed for San Francisco to open things up and basically coast to a win.
I agree with you 100%.
Well, thank you for breaking it down for us, gentlemen, because it was such a shock to see that. You see all of our social media records broken, and then you look at the game, you're like, well, it didn't look like anyone broke any records. So let's go now to the Ravens and the Browns, because you see.
Hey, wait, time out. What the NFL got to do, too, I know he broke a record, but let's not put it out there like they won the game. Like, if you look at it, like, you would have thought they won the football
game. That's my point. All of us are treated.
Let's talk about what we should do is, let's talk about that on Monday.
Tell me the result. It was literally just pictures of Jacoby Brissett everywhere. I'm like, oh, yeah, man, we're going to have something to talk about on First and Pod tomorrow. And then I saw it. I'm like, no, we will not. But we'll go to the Ravens and the Browns. You guys saw it. It's time. Shador got in there and got his first NFL snaps. It didn't go the way he would want. He had some good, he had some bad. But first of all, we could talk about this loss for the Browns and how the Ravens are getting back. But then we could talk about Shador moving forward, what we expect to see from him for the rest of the season in the Cleveland Browns.
Well, I thought he was terrible in this game. I hate to say it, but he was. I think it was 4 of 16 were the final stats. The Ravens pretty much blitzed him the entire time. They sent more than four rushers, and he, you know, didn't get rid of the ball in time and started to kind of, I think, do some of the negative things we saw in the preseason where he's drifting back and he's falling back and he's taking sacks. And honestly, if the Browns had even like competent quarterback play, they win this game. Lamar Jackson didn't look right with that knee injury. He's not running. He's not a threat as a runner at all right now. And that, you know, makes him a lesser quarterback. Myles Garrett had a monster game. I mean, he was everywhere. He almost single-handedly won this game for Cleveland. Their defense was good enough to win. They just could not get anything done offensively the entire game. So it was not a good start. The one thing I don't understand with Shador that just drives me crazy is he comes into the game, he scrambles for a first down, the play clock's running, he runs 10 yards downfield to, like, puff his chest out. Dude, get back in the huddle. What are we doing here? Okay, like, you made one good play. You should expect to make good plays, all right? Like, if you think so highly of yourself, okay, great. You got a first down. Tremendous. Okay, so he didn't get any reps with the first team. All right, so he's got to kind of get on the same page as them. And now he's going to have a week of practice, you'd think, with Dylan Gabriel and concussion protocol to get that. So to me, some of the excuses that are out there for the way he played are no longer going to be there going into this next game. And I think it's against the Saints, the Raiders, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, we just saw what the Raiders defense looked like Monday night. He should be set up for him as good of a situation as possible in this next game. So if he wants to write it off as first game jitters, coming off the bench cold, not having prep time with your guys, but he better perform significantly better Sunday against the Raiders, Pat. He has to, I think.
Yeah, I agree with some of the things that you were saying. I believe he was definitely put in a tough situation, especially hearing that he never took any first team snaps throughout this whole time of him being the backup quarterback. Like, for me, I played 13 years in the league and played with a bunch of different quarterbacks. And we all typically had 8 to 10 plays per drive, and the backup quarterback at least got two of those. And to hear that he never got any first team reps throughout practice is baffling. Like, Kevin Skibanski is doing this player, he's a huge disadvantage right now. Because first of all, A, that's almost unheard of. And two, how would we expect Shador to be successful if he's not involved into or really understand the game plan and it's not tailor-made to his attributes or his athletic ability? And two, he don't have any time with these guys. Now the Baltimore Ravens put out the blueprint. When these young quarterbacks are in the ball game, there's going to be a lot of pressure. So the offensive coordinator, who the play caller, they're going to have to do a better job of implementing some more screens. Like for me, when I was watching that game against the Baltimore Ravens, the Cleveland Browns and the Baltimore Ravens game, the Baltimore Ravens, I don't have the number off the top of my head, but they probably had to blitz every other play.
That's what I mean. There were no blitz beaters in there.
So therefore, let's give him more easier reads. Let's get some receiver slip screens in there, running back screens. Now put the pressure and ownership on the Baltimore Ravens defensive backs
to adjust
tackles in space. Like you gave this guy no ability or no chance to be successful when you see what they're doing. Everybody's at the line of scrimmage almost every single pass situation. You got seven guys across the line of scrimmage. And we still running five-step dropbacks. We still throwing seven-step dropbacks, play action, having them roll out. That don't make any sense. So, therefore, this Cleveland Kevin and Coach Kevin Skavansky and the office coordinator, the offensive side of the ball, they have to come together, A, protect them better, two, have a game plan that's tailored for him, and three, give him an opportunity to be successful. I believe that game that we saw, yes, his stats were not good, but they did not protect. They did not protect him. Yes, though, a couple of those scrambles, he got to step up in the pocket versus retrieving backwards, going back to his Colorado days. But they did not set this kid up for success. And with him going into this game plan, not having a snap of hearing the calls that's going in, it's different when you just in the quarterback room listening to the game play, because this is tailored for Dillon Gabriel, not me. So 9 times out of 10, I'm listening to what's going on, but I can care less. I'm just, you know what I mean? I'm just going like, yeah. I wouldn't want to run that play for me. You know what I mean? Just going in as a backup quarterback. So therefore, when he's not implemented or understand what's going on for not taking any reps in practice. So the Cleveland Browns, man, they ought to be ashamed of themselves, man, honestly, on how they're handling this whole situation, on preparing him, getting him NFL ready, getting him the reps or even the looks that he need, because just in case, like, you never know what's going to happen. And now you're putting this guy in this situation to where nothing is set up for him to be successful. So the Cleveland Browns, man, they ought to get they're not doing a very good job at this this quarterback situation in my opinion.
I don't put much fault on Shador. No reps with the first team, and the first passing attempt was a five-step drop. It's like I don't know what we're doing. Let's go to the Chargers and the Jaguars, because someone got to call the authorities. The Chargers are charging again. They're doing it again. They get thumped by the Jaguars in Jacksonville. Pat, I believe you threw the warning signs. You said they coming from the West Coast down to humid old South Florida, man.
Mm-hmm.
And it bit them. It bit them bad. So what happened? How did the Chargers fall so, we'll say, so woefully to the Jaguars?
Man, that heat. And Justin Herbert was the leading rusher for this football team. Again, you know, they had a really good game plan against the Pittsburgh Steelers last week, night game, home game, this, that, and the other. But now they had to take their talents on the road from the East Coast, from the West Coast to the East Coast. I don't know their travel plans. I'm sure they probably got there a day earlier, but obviously that didn't work either, because this was a classic BTA. Trevor Lawrence, I mean, he was efficient, but he didn't put any big numbers. But it was just the defense. The defense really harassed Justin Herbert all game. I know he only threw one pick. But, boy, when I tell you, it felt like the way that that defensive line played and the way that they harassed Justin Herbert, you would have thought, looking at the score, you would have thought that they had created six turnovers, but they didn't. But the way that they got after Justin Herbert, man, the way that they beat him up and made his life a living hell this past Sunday was very, very remarkable as a defense, as a defensive staff and as a defensive unit. So I love to see when you have defensive guys in the defense being able to apply pressure with your front four. When you're able to do that, you're going to be not only successful as a defense, you're going to be successful as a team, because now you, like we talked about earlier, what teams are starting to do with Patrick Mahomes when they have a good rush. Now you have the ability to put more eyes on a quarterback to be able to create more turnovers, to be able to create more guys running to the football, rallying to the football, balls to the hats to the ball carrier. You know, so this Jacksonville offense, I'm sorry, this Jacksonville team, they played well. They played on all three phases, special teams, defense, and offense. So if they can continue to do this at home, because we see what they can do when they're at home, and they're a little shaky when they get on the road, can't seem to close out games or hold the lead. But when they are home, they are a really, really competitive football team.
I think these teams are very similar. You don't know what you're going to get. They can beat anybody. They can lose to anybody. And on this Sunday, the Jaguars did the things that they have been good at when they've won games this year. They ran the snot out of the ball. They played great defense. To your point, they've usually, when they play great defense, they turn teams over. They didn't. They held Herbert to 81 yards. He got pulled in this game because he was getting hit and they were out of it. And in LA, you know, does something like this like once a month. They lost to the Giants on the road. Now this, and I do think part of it is because they've got that makeshift patchwork offensive line. Mm-hmm. You know, but I think one of these two teams is going to make the playoffs, and I can see that game that they're in, they either get blown out by four touchdowns or they win. It's just they're very, very erratic teams, and you know, that's why they're teams that are fighting for wild card spots and teams that probably aren't going to win their division.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
The Chargers are going to charger.
Hey, so Pony,
yeah.
Quick question to you. Who you have more faith in right now to make the playoffs, Chargers or the Jags?
Chargers. I still have the Chargers because of Herbert over Lawrence and Harbaugh over Cohen, but not by much. I mean, that's a big tiebreaker win for Jacksonville. They've got two games left with the Colts. If the Colts lose to Kansas City on Sunday, you know, Jacksonville all of a sudden feels like they might have destiny in their own hands if they take care of business against Indy, but I would favor the Chargers over the Jaguars right now, but not by much.
Gotcha.
So see, we shall see. Pat, it might be time to hit it.
I told you, woo. I hit it already.
Woo.
Oh, you're talking about the woo. Woo.
Woo.
Woo.
Yeah, man. Here come the Panthers. They take out the Falcons, and you look up, and they are right in it in the NFC South race. Michael Penix is going to be out for the season. That is a very unfortunate situation for Atlanta. Here comes Captain Kirk back in the fold for the Falcons. What's your reaction to Penix being out for the season and the Panthers stalking the Buccaneers as prey right now for the NFC South.
Well, the Penix thing is a huge, it's a huge loss in that you're not going to be able to watch him over the next six or seven games to figure out where he is on his trajectory as your franchise quarterback. And we've seen Kirk Cousins now a couple times, and look, at the end of this game, he got them in contention to, or in position to keep the game going into overtime. And then Kyle Pitts dropped the ball. He's got a catch and continues to disappoint as a top five pick. But, you know, Atlanta, I think there could be changes there again. You know, they just can't seem, it's every year it's 7-10. And it looks like they're going to be lucky to even get to that record this year. And this was looked at as kind of a make or break year. This was Bryce Young's best game in the NFL. He threw for over 400 yards. Man, he had like, I feel like he had half of his passing yards this year in this game. I mean, it's really a slap in the face of the Atlanta defense, which has had such a good pass defense this year, that they let Bryce Young have their way with them like he did. But it's a win that honestly gives Carolina hope, because if Bryce Young plays like this, anywhere close to this moving forward, they actually do have a chance in the division. So it's the best win of this year. Carolina swept Atlanta this season. They won both games against them. And so they're going to be probably a second place team at worst, which for them is obviously a big improvement for where they've been the last few years.
Sorry, Pony. I was just cleaning up my mess over here.
I saw that.
But yeah, man, big time win for the Carolina Panthers. Big time performance for Bryce Young, throwing for 448 yards. I believe he broke the Carolina record for the most passing yards in the game, outdoing my guy Cam Newton against me and the Arizona Cardinals in 2011. I can't remember how many yards exactly, but I think it was like 420 or something like that. Cam Newton threw on us, but we end up getting the win. Your boy had the walk-off punt return, so I got the last laugh at the end of the day. But this was a huge win for the Carolina Panthers to keep their playoff hopes and division championships alive. You know what I mean? So their defense is surprisingly continuing to play, you know, lights out and being able to make those stops when they need them late in the ball game. But the biggest story right now is Bryce Young for 400 yards. And like, I never thought that I would see Bryce Young throw for 400 yards. And I'm just being quite honest with you guys.
Me too.
Yeah. So for him to go out there and throw 400 yards against a highly improved, I know that they was dealing with injuries, but a highly improved Atlanta defense in the back end and up front, as far as being able to put pressure on the quarterback. But man, my game ball goes to Bryce Young for being able to go out there and throw for 400 yards, his career high, and being able to sweep their divisional foe in the Atlanta Falcons, giving them high hopes for this division still. So the Carolina Panthers are playing with a ton of confidence, a lot of hope, and let's see if they can keep it going, because they have yet to play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Let's see if they can sweep them. Sorry, James, but just giving them some.
Don't even put that in the air. You want to see a depressed James. Don't even put that in the air. Yeah, Cam Newton threw for 432 against you guys, Pat. Bryce Young broke that record. But, yes, you're right. In that same game, to end the game, Patrick Peterson wins it. Yes. Walk-off touchdowns, be strutting in the end zone. Let's wrap up this podcast with the Thursday night. The Texans defeated the Titans this past weekend. No one's writing home about that. But they have a chance now to double down and go two in a row. They play the Buffalo Bills on Thursday at home. The Bills are 5.5-point favorite via the FanDuel Sportsbook. So this is our FanDuel bet of the pod, brought to you by the FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. How do you see this game going? Do you see the Texans kind of staying hot and knocking off the Bills, or at least covering that 5.5, or are Josh Allen and the Bills victorious by a touchdown?
I think it comes down to if C.J. Stroud plays. If Mills play, the Bills will walk away with this game, and they will cover. I know the defense for the Houston Texans is very, very elite. They can get after the passer. They got guys in the back end that can take the ball away and that can shut down receivers. To my fellow guy, Stingley, who had an incredible interception last week, one-hand interception across the middle. But if C.J. Stroud is coming back, they have a chance. But I still like Buffalo in this ball game. I just think the way that the Houston offense is set up, they don't have an efficient running game. CJ Stroud has been kind of up and down throughout the year. Nico Collins, mm-hmm. we know that's their number one receiver, but they really don't have anyone besides him. So it's going to be it's going to really be dependent on their defense to make those key stops and take the ball away from the Buffalo Bills in order for them to put points on the board, because I feel like they don't have the running game that's going to be able to threaten the Buffalo Bills defense like a Baltimore Ravens or like, you know, the Jacksonville Jaguars. So, and CJ Stroud is coming out of concussion protocol. So I don't know how sharp he's going to be. Like I said, he's already had an up and down roller coaster type of season already, you know, so I'm going to go with the Buffalo Bills to win this ball game. It also depends on the spread. If CJ Stroud plays, I believe the game will be closer. But if Mills gets the call to be the starting quarterback, I believe the Buffalo Bills win by 10.
I like Houston regardless. I would take the points with them, and I would pick them to win the game. I don't trust the Bills on the road. They lost to Miami on the road and looked dreadful offensively for 3+ quarters. They went to Atlanta and they were befuddled offensively the entire game. This is, for me in Houston, arguably the best defense in the entire NFL. Short week for Buffalo, so I don't see them being able to implement or integrate things into their offense to give them an advantage in this game. It's on the road on a short week. So I think their offense is going to be grounded. I don't see Josh Allen taking over this game like he did against Tampa Bay. And so I don't think there's going to be really for Davis Mills in Houston, if it is Davis Mills, I don't think they're going to need to score a lot of points to win the game. So I think they can win this game like 17-13, and that would get the Texans to a winning record, and that would get them a chance in the wild card picture, and it would put them in the mix with the teams like the Bills, Ravens, and Chiefs for those final playoff spots.
Want to make this a water game?
Yes, I do, because I need to get back hydrated right now because I'm parched after the way I performed last week.
Pony may need a complimentary case. Pony may need some water just on the house.
All right, we'll make this a water game. I like Buffalo.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.